Thanks. Well, good morning. I got really excited to hear that Tim was going back to Africa because that meant I got to share with you guys again. So I am thrilled to be here and I'm really, really excited about what God has put on my heart to share with you all. I want to get started, though, with this little saying that I've heard that you've probably heard, too, that dogs, pets, etc., they're kind of look like their owners a lot of the time. Like, there's this weird theory that dogs look like their owners. I think it's odd. I don't know if it's actually true. I think there's some evidence to support that. And Stephen, I think, has some of the evidence for us. I mean, it's a thing. I don't know how, but it's kind of a thing. I think this one might be a cat. I actually can't quite tell. So much further. The tongue one gets me on this one. The tongue gets me on this one. And then there's the hair. And there it is. Again, I don't know if this is true, but I find it interesting. An interesting concept because there is something about being like and becoming like what you surround yourself with. What your eyes are on and where your focus is. There's this verse in 2 Kings 17 that says, the verse is, they rejected his decrees and the covenant he made with their ancestors and the statutes he had warned them to keep. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. So this verse talks about how they worshiped idols and became worthless like them. And I believe that that's true, that we become like what we worship, what our focus is on, what our focus is on. Our worship is our focus, and we become what we behold. On a side note, I think it begs this question. If they worshiped worthless idols and became worthless, what happens to us when we worship a holy God? That, I think, is a message all in itself, which we're not going to fully go into today, but I wanted us to take a moment and think about that. What I want to talk about, though, today is our focus. Where is our focus? Where are our eyes? Where is our heart on? Because I think our focus can hold us back. There's many things in our life that's pulling our attention, and some things are important, but there's one thing that's the most important. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I've personally noticed in my life that where my focus is changes things. Even as I was working on this message, there in my head was the list of things that I was behind on for my 3 part-time jobs. My laundry was sprawled out everywhere on the floor. The dishes were a mile high, and I had a list of text messages still to respond to. Now, maybe that just speaks into me overcommitting myself and being a little bit too busy, which I should work with God on. But I think whether it's that or something else, there is always things pulling our attention and pulling our focus. But as I shifted my gaze, as I put my gaze and focus back on God and back on Jesus, even though the laundry wasn't done, even though the dishes weren't washed, there was a peace and there was a rest that came over me. It was transforming. And it made me think of what Jesus said to Martha. Mary and Martha were sisters and they were having a party at their house. I always got the impression that Martha was trying to have like the very best party ever. But maybe she was just trying to have a good party, or maybe even she was just trying to make sure people weren't starving and they were fed, because they were probably there for a long time if Jesus was there. So just a thought, I don't know. But her sister Mary had been sitting at Jesus' feet and just being with him, and Martha was getting very upset by this and tells Jesus to tell her sister, come help me. And Jesus' response was in Luke 10:41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So I think, because we all have something, we all have things we get distracted on, I think we all also have more to receive from God. I think we all can get our focus deeper and stronger. So the phrase, the title to this message was Becoming What You Behold, which is a phrase from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. I think Mike Bickle might have been the one to share it first, but it's something that God put on my heart and something that I wanted to share with you today. So today I want to talk about the calling of our focus, the power of focus and thankfulness, and training our eyes and hearts. Because if you become what you behold, what you behold matters more than anything. I'm going to pray for us, but if you want to turn to Psalm 100, that's our main key verse for today. We'll be kind of all over the place, and we'll have verses on the screen for you. But if you want to turn there, I want to pray for us, and then we'll get into it. Father God, we just come before you, and we turn our gaze and our focus to you. God, we want to see your beauty. We want to be transformed by you. God, we invite you into this place. We say we want you to speak, only the Holy Spirit to speak in this place. And anything else, any other distractions, anything else that would come against that, that would try to turn our hearts or our minds or our gaze away from you, we just say, you must leave, you must be silenced. Any other voices may not speak. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and breathe within this place. We say to those other spirits, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord who chose Jerusalem, rebuke you. And God, I just pray that your words will be spoken today. That anything that's just of me, that that will fall away. But the things that you want your beloved children to hear will be heard. God, and speak to them. Speak to them this morning. I don't want them to hear me. I want them to hear you. God, we love you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our first verse this morning, actually, or I guess we've gone through a couple verses already, but the next verse we're going to go into is Philippians 4:8, which is, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And Tim has talked about this before. He's talked about how whatever is true, those things that are noble, that whatever is right, that purity, that loveliness, those admirable things, that those are Jesus. Those are the characteristics of Jesus. When we think on these things, we think on Jesus. When we think on Jesus, we think on these things. And I think there's something so important for us here. When I was driving into Chicago recently, I was going to visit a friend, and I had my worship music going and the windows rolled down because I just wanted the music to go out into the atmosphere. I wanted the worship to go out beyond just my car, and I was praying and I was asking God to bring his presence into the city of Chicago. And I started praying, God, what's the key? What is the key for your presence to come into Chicago? And I felt like one of the keys that he spoke to me was focus. Was focus and where our focus was. Now, we all know Chicago, right? Chicago's a fun place. We know that Chicago is a place of entertainment and excitement. If you have someone coming in from out of town, you'll say, hey, let's go to Chicago. And what I find interesting is you don't necessarily just say, hey, let's go do this one thing, because there's so many things to do. You say the whole name of the city, let's go to Chicago and let's have a good time. Or there's other things about Chicago. There is so much fear there as well. If you tell people, hey, I'm from the Chicagoland area, or I'm from Chicago, they're like, ooh. And where does their focus go? What happens to their focus? They start thinking about fear and the things that happen there that are so, so dark. Chicago, it's a city and it pulls your attention in so many ways. But I think this is where God is coming in and wanting us to bring our focus back on to Him. Not the entertainment, not the fear, but the focus on Him. If you think back about that verse in 2 Kings 17, they worshiped worthless idols and became worthless. But you have so much value to God. He doesn't want you to be focusing on the fear or just the entertainment. He wants you to be focusing on Him and becoming more like Him. If we're focusing on the fear, that's where we're going. That's the direction we're going, and that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to be more like Him. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, in Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10, this is how Jesus starts. He goes, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When you look at that prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray, it starts with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And this challenged me over the years. I don't know what it looks like when you're praying, and I don't know where you start. But over the years, I noticed that when I came in to pray, when I came to God to pray, I would start with the things that were on my mind, the things that I was concerned about, my fears, my anxieties, my worries, the things that I felt were weighing very heavy on me. I would come and I would start bringing these heavy things to Him. But I was challenged because is that how Jesus taught us to pray? To start with our stuff that's here on earth and to bring it to Him. No, He said start first. Start first with our Father in heaven. Don't start with the things that are on earth. Start with your Father in heaven. Why? Why do you think that's the first thing He taught us to pray? I think it's because when we start looking at our Father in heaven, we say, "Our Father in heaven," it begins to remind us that we are not orphans, we are not alone, and that we have a Father who loves us and cares about us so deeply. And as we see Him, all of the other stuff that was on our mind and on our heart, it becomes smaller. We see how big He is, and everything else becomes dim. It's not as big. It's not as overwhelming. And all this stuff, this heavy weight that has been on you, when you start by looking at the Father, that weight begins to crack. That fear, that anxiety, it begins to crack before you even go anywhere else in your prayer. You see God the Father, that He is the first, He is the last, He's just not just one moment in time, but He has been before, and He is in the moment you are in, and He sees the future, and He knows who He is and that plan that He has for you. Jesus starts with asking us to turn our eyes to the Father. And what we see will change our whole life. Who you see the Father to be changes everything about your life. It affects everything about your life, the way you see the Father. If you see an angry Father, if you see a Father that doesn't care, if you see a Father who seems absent, it'll affect every area of your life. Now, maybe that's what your earthly father was like. And that's the picture that you have grown up with and lived with. But that's not who our Father God is. And the question is, who is He then, right? And if we want to see God the Father truly and correctly, we want to start with seeing it from the eyes of someone who can. Someone who does see the Father rightly and truly for who He is. And Jesus can do that, right? He sees the Father for who He truly is. So for us to come and to find out who that Father is, what he really looks like, what he is for us, we want to look through his eyes. And in the prayer Jesus taught us, what happens? He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So what does he see? He sees holiness. He sees holiness. And that's what he wants us to see. In Revelation 4, it talks about the creatures in heaven saying day and night, "Holy, holy, holy." Revelation 4, verse 8 says this, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" When you see God in the truth of who he is, you see holiness. And I think God is calling us to have a captivated focus on him. If someone asks you, what is your calling? I feel like that's a thing that happens in the church, you know? If you're outside of the church, people might ask you, like, what are your dreams? What are your goals? What are your ambitions? Where do you see your life going? I think in the church we say, so what's your calling? And I don't know if you know how to answer that, but if you don't, I feel like this is a great place to start. If someone asks you, what is your calling? You can say, my calling is to have my eyes fixed on the Father. That is my calling. My calling is to have my eyes fixed on the Father. So if focus is our goal, if focus is our calling, what does this look like? Now, random little scientific fact. I find these interesting, personally. So I'm going to share one with you, even if you find it interesting or not. But scientists have discovered that when you are thankful, it opens up what they call your relational circuits. And when you open up your relational circuits, it allows you to actually be more connected with the people around you. And for us as Christians, I think we know that too. If we're more open to people around us, then we also can be more open to God. And this gets us to our main verse of the message, Psalm 100, verse 4, which is, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." See, the Bible agrees. The Bible says it too, that when we are thankful, it opens us up to God. These gates open up as we give thankfulness and praise to God. We get to enter his presence. This is what these gates do. When they open, when we enter with thanksgiving and praise, we enter into his presence. Then what happens? What happens after we enter? So many things. So many things. When we get close to God, we get a best friend. We get everything we've been looking for, but we also, too, on the other flip end, we also get the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." These fruits aren't fruits we strive for. They're something we get. Growing up, I felt the need to make these things happen. I felt like I needed to be happy, to have joy, to be full of peace. If I was in a bad mood, if I was in the bad mood, my mom would send me to my room till I was happy again. She's like, "Go to your room. You're not in a good mood. Come back when you're in a better place." not so well. I mean, kind of, somewhat. I actually did talk to my mom about this week, and she's like, "You needed to be by yourself to be able to recalibrate." And I was like, "Okay, Mom, I don't remember." But she would encourage me to read my Bible, though. Like, I definitely think that was, like, such a gift to be able to encourage me to read my Bible. But I didn't get it, though. At that age, I didn't get it. I would sit there and I would conjure up and be like, "I need to be happier so I can go back and do whatever else I was doing before." But fruit isn't created. It's not conjured up. You don't mold fruit and make fruit and say, hey, I have fruit. Fruit grows. We know this. Fruit grows. Fruit grows from trees in earthly ways, and it's the same in the spirit. It grows. It grows. In John 15, verse 4, Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Fruit isn't crafted. It comes from being connected. It comes from being in the presence of God. You receive the fruit. You receive the fruit. There are fruits of being with God. Being connected to the vine. It's us being united with Him. Entering His presence with thanksgiving. And when we enter those courts with praise, we're in His presence. And that fruit of being in His presence is receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we come with thankfulness. And we fix our eyes on Jesus. We realize that He is looking at us and He sees us. And He cares for us. And He notices every piece of us. He sees us sitting there. He hears the thoughts that are going on in our head. He knows what our struggles are, and He's so glad to be with us. And He wants us to know that He can do something about everything that you're going through. So if this is all true, practically what does it look like? How do we train our hearts and our minds to be focused? We can just say, be more thankful. But is there more? Is there more? Is there a way to channel this calling and expand this beautiful, thankful worship to God? Now, we all relate to people in different ways, right? We'll relate to our friends even in different ways. We have our friends who we want to have coffee with. We have our friends that you maybe want to go golfing with. I know we've got some friends here that like to go hiking together because they can keep up with each other. I mean, like, I like going hiking, but I'm not going to keep up. I mean, I've tried, but I don't really keep up with Tim. I can barely keep up with Carlene, and that's when she's sick. That's when I can keep up with her, kind of. So you have your friends you like doing different things with. And I think we can think about God in a similar way, where you can relate to Him in a lot of different ways. So what I want to share with you is just one of those ways. One of those ways that you can relate to God. And it's called Emmanuel Journaling. And it's from this book called The Joyful Journey, which I'm pulling a Tim today. And I've got two for y'all. So who wants them? Okay, we got one right over here. Got one more. Got one more. All right, we got someone over here. Come on, come on and get it. There you go. Amazing. Yeah. The authors are E. James Wilder, Anna Kang, John Lopnow, and Sung Shim Lopnow. What is so cool is I took a class on this. My aunt did a class on this, and I was able to take it. And then I was also able to take a class on this with John and Sung Shim Lopnow. And they are some of the most amazing people you would ever want to meet. You can tell that they have spent time in the presence of God, and the fruit that is just around them is so, so beautiful. If you ever have a chance to take a class with them, my class was over Zoom. If you ever have a take a class with them or meet them, like, I would so encourage you to do it. It was absolutely, absolutely beautiful. So this Emmanuel Journaling sheet that you got, hopefully handed out. Everyone got one? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Is something that Sung Shim has put together. It's in the book. The book goes into it more and explaining it more. But I want us to take a minute. I want you to grab a pen. I want us to do this here together. And it's really, to be honest, this has just been such an amazing experience that I've been able to learn this in this time and this season. When so much is going on and there's been so much chaos, this has been a beautiful way to quiet and find a way to feel God's presence near us. So I just want to take a second, grab a pen. We have some in front of you. And number one is, you can see it says, just take a moment to take a few deep breaths and to slow yourself down. Be fully present to the presence of God and ask the Holy Spirit to ground you in the love of God. So I just want us to take a minute, close your eyes, take a couple deep breaths. I just want you to write something down, something that you're thankful for. Doesn't have to be long. God is not asking for eloquence. He loves your heart. And just write something down that you're thankful for. To take a moment, we're going to go to number two, with God's response. If you're worried and concerned about if this is exactly what God might be saying to you, don't worry about it. Just write down what you think, what might God say back to you. There's something in the book that talks about thought rhyming with God, and thought rhyming is just a piece that goes, like, my sister is here, and I could start a sentence and she could finish it. And that's thought rhyming. It's just, you know the gist of the person. You know their heart. You know their heartbeat. If you know the Bible, you know the types of things that God says. So just write those things down. Write what you feel his response is to the things that you were thankful for. If you go to the next page, it just goes a little bit deeper. And it goes, I can see you. An example here that says, I can see you pacing back and forth in your living room with the lights off. I can see you breathing heavily, scrunching up your shoulders. I can see your eyes beginning to fill with tears. Here, it could be, I see you sitting in that chair. I see you listening to me and being with me. I see you at church. Write down whatever you feel like God is saying that he sees about you right now. And the next one kind of flows into it. So you just can keep going or take some time to finish that other one you're on. But I can hear you. And that taps more into what are the thoughts in your head? What are the things that are going on that are deeply weighing on you? He hears and he knows all those things. The next one is, I understand how big this is for you, and I understand how you feel. You can write down that response. that you feel like God is saying to you? The next one is, I am glad to be with you, and I see your weaknesses tenderly. And I've even heard that as, I'm glad to be with you, and I treat your weaknesses tenderly. And the last piece is, I can do something about what you're going through. And this one isn't so much about God changing your situation in this exact second. But I think this one fits into so well our Father in heaven, looking up to him and seeing him and knowing he is with you, that you're not alone, you are not an orphan, and letting all of those things that weigh heavy on you begin to crack and have the weight lessen. There's extra sheets of these at the front if you want to take some home with you. There's also some information on these sheets about the website that I got this off of if you want to have more of these worksheets to do at home. But today, I just hope I am leaving with you with an understanding of our focus, the understanding of your calling of focus, and the power of focus and thankfulness, and some tools on how to train your heart to connect with Jesus. Remember, you become what you behold. And if that's true, then what you behold changes everything. I want to leave you with a quote from Bill Johnson, and he says this: because of who he is, to behold him and remain unchanged, it's impossible. So I want to pray over us, and then I want invite the worship team to come back up. So you can sit, you can sing, you can just rest, you can write down more if God has more to say, or you can just be within that moment and reread through what God said. And I want to encourage you this week, if you can find someone you feel safe with, to share what you wrote. Because that's actually the final step of this process, is when you share what you write, it brings it to a deeper level for you. But I'm going to pray over us. And remember, because of who he is, to behold him and remain unchanged is impossible. God, we love you. And we want to behold you. We want to behold you every day for the rest of our lives. And we want to become more like you. We want to receive every good and perfect thing you have for us, God. We love you. We sit in your presence and we're in awe of who we are, of who you are, and who you are making us to be. So I just pray a blessing right now over every person who is here and every person that hears this message, that they will be captivated by their calling to have their eyes focused and fixed on you. And let us be known as a people who enter your presence because of the thanksgiving and praise and worship that is continually coming out of our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I'm going on and over my head. I'm not scared to get drenched in your love. Wherever you go, God, I will follow. I'm not scared to get lost in your love. I'm going on and over. I'm not scared to get drenched in your love. is found in the roughest waters, where I have no choice but to trust you, Father. When my every fear has to surrender, I will trust in you forever. Take me there, oh, take me there, 'cause your power is found in the roughest waters. But to trust you, Father, and when every fear has to surrender, I will trust in you forever. Take me there, oh, take me there. I'm going all in over my head. I'm not scared to get drenched in your love. Wherever you go, God, I will follow. Found in the roughest waters, where I have no choice but to trust you, Father. And when every fear has to surrender, I will trust in you forever. Take me there, oh, take me there, 'cause your power is found in the roughest waters, where I have no choice but to trust you, Father.
I wasn't sure how I wanted to end today, but I want to leave you with a blessing. And I want to pray a blessing over your eyes, that your eyes will see. That your eyes will see the love of the Father. That your eyes will be captivated by Him. And that you will know Him for who He truly is. And not for a distorted picture that someone on earth, some human person might have painted for you. But that you would know and see through Jesus' eyes who He truly is. That's right, oh God. I just pray over this whole group here. God, I pray a protection over their eyes. I think of the verse, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I don't know if we all feel pure or not. I don't know if you feel that way or not. But I just pray God supernaturally does everything, that He does all things. So I just pray a purity over your heart, that your eyes will see God. because he wants you to see him in his fullness. So I just bless you with pure hearts. I bless you with eyes. I bless that you to have the veil removed and that you will see God in his fullness and his truth. That when your eyes look up, you will see the holy God. And you will be like the creatures in Revelation saying, holy, holy, holy. But I just want to bless each one of you. I just pray a blessing, God. I pray that nothing will distract their focus, God. God, you promise us. God, you promise us that nothing can hinder us from your love. No, not height, nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything of this world can separate us from your love. And so I pray that for the focus of these eyes of the hearts here, God, that nothing will separate them, nothing will distract them, that for the rest of their lives from day one here, that they will run towards you, that they will find the narrow path and they will run and never stop running towards you and being full of the joy of the Lord. And the peace that you give. And the endurance. And the courage. I bless every single person here with courage. And the hope. Hope for their future. Hope for the future of those around them. And God, I just pray that this will expand. That as our eyes are focused on you, it will turn everyone's around us eyes to focus on you. As for a ripple effect, God. God, I ask for a revival. A revival that starts with our focus fixed on you. And as our eyes are stayed on you, other eyes will begin to turn and their lives will be transformed. I pray this for Crystal Lake. I pray this for McHenry County. I pray this for Chicago. I pray this for Illinois. And I pray this for United States of America. God, our focus needs to change.